All right, some common findings. Umbilical hernias, and then something called, it's not a true hernia, but it's called a ventral hernia. In older guys especially, sometimes when if they're lying on their back and you ask them to sit up, you'll see like a ridge appear right here. And that's just because there's a weakening of the muscle of the fascia walls that holds the two rectus abdominis layers against each other. You know, if you see like a guy's got like a ripped stomach, like there's an indentation right here. Well, in these people, they get the opposite. It pouches outward. It's called a ventral hernia, but it's not a true hernia. So umbilical hernias are pretty common. You see an outy belly button that actually has guts in there. Piercings, very common nowadays, belly button piercings. I remember when it was very first starting and it was like, I'm going to get a belly button piercing. And like college students would be like, oh my gosh, I got a belly button piercing. My parents are going to kill me. And then like a couple years later, I went to a friend's house and his 9-year-old daughters are out in their little bikinis with belly button piercings. So, I mean, this is like 5 years ago, too. I don't know why you guys are so surprised. I bet more than half the people in this room have them at this moment in time. Yeah, my wife's mom, 60 years old, wants to get one.
What? 60?
Yeah, because they have a little cabin by a river up, I think it's... I forget what river it is, but you know, so she goes. They go there on the weekends, and you know, all the little kids are. She's like, I think I should get one. So you know, times have changed, but you know, a very common finding. Striae are stretch marks. The number one factor in the stria formation is going to be genetic. Basically, the skin has been stretched and damage has occurred, and your body responds to that by putting down a large amount of collagen. And so we call that a stretch mark or stria. And then scars. So here are some stria, common after pregnancy in women, just being overweight for men. Notice she also has some down here. They're fairly common in some athletes along this part of the body and shoulders. You know, guys who like throw, like baseball players, a lot of times will have stria from their working out. Thank you to Dr. Dubin. Okay, here we have the abdomen, and we have four arteries that we're going to auscultate for. So start with the aorta, then the renal, the umbilical, and the femoral. Now, should we hear the arteries? No. Now, as you're listening for those arteries, guess what you might hear? Bowel sounds. Now, if you hear bowel sounds while you're listening for the arteries, you're done auscultating. If you do not hear any bowel sounds, guess what you need to do? Listen longer. In order to say that someone does not have vowel sounds, you need to listen for 5 minutes continuously. And you need to make sure you listen in all four quadrants. By checking for the arteries, how many quadrants have we listened in? All four. As long as you hear bowel sounds while you're doing that, you move on, you're done with auscultation. If you don't hear bowel sounds, then listen longer. To say that there's none, you have to have listened for how long? 5 minutes. All right, percussion. You can percuss for two different things. Well, we already talked about CVA tenderness in the back. You can also percuss for liver size. So what you do is you would start up in the chest on the right side, and you listen for where the sound changes from resonant to dull. Liver is dull. If you want, and muscle is flat. And if you want to think of that, muscles make your stomach flat, so muscles have a flat sound. Therefore, liver must be dull.
Do you do that on a woman?
Same way.
Yeah.
You can also percuss the abdomen as a whole. just listening for the vowel pockets, and what would the noise be made over most of the vowel? Okay, and hollow, what's the word for it, though? It's another word for kettle drum, for those of you who are in band camp. Kettle drum. Yes, a kettle drum. It's better known as a timpani. Can't believe you guys didn't know that. The caliber of musical education in this country has just gone way down. Especially for nursing students. Hey, just because we're specializing doesn't mean we can't be whole people. We are Renaissance people. All right. Palpation, first one is light, then deep, then special. And you can look for all three of these. We are only going to look for liver and spleen. All right, so here, yes, thunder. Here's a kind of a diagram of the abdomen. So notice that the liver primarily lives up in the rib cage. When a person takes a breath, what happens? How does a person take a breath? What muscle? The diaphragm. The diaphragm moves downwards. So the diaphragm is actually going to push the liver downward. So in order to palpate for the liver, guess what we have patients do? Take a deep breath. They take a breath, it pushes this down, and we can feel the edge of it. Notice that this little sac is hiding right under it. That is called the gallbladder. And then we have the stomach on the left side. Notice how high up it is. Now, guys will tend to say, man, I am so full, and hold themselves right up where the stomach actually is. Women have a tendency to say, man, I am so full. I do not know what they are feeling, but that is not their stomach. Maybe the food goes directly to the bladder. I don't know. But the stomach is up here. So. Now, down here we have the last part of the intestine that's called the ileum, connects to the large intestine, the colon, at the ileocecal junction. So there's like a little pocket here. And then there's a little tail, the appendix. Now, this first part of the colon is called ascending because it's going up. This part here is called the transverse because it's going across. Then this part is called the because it's going down. Then right here at the bottom, notice how it kind of curves, goes back, and then down. That is called the sigmoid colon, because I guess it's shaped like a sigma. So it goes, and notice this little scar tissue for the umbilicus here. Now, this little red thing below, that is the bladder. Now, this must be a guy, because there ain't no ovaries. Now, behind all of this stuff, if you rip out these intestines, then you're going to see kidneys. Now it's a woman. So, kidneys, notice that the left one is higher, the right one is a little bit lower. They protrude just a little bit from below the rib cage, but most of the kidney is actually protected by the rib cage. These two little things that come down off of it are called ureters. They connect to the bladder. And, what's this kind of funky, cheesy-looking pancreas? So the pancreas kind of sits in and twists in and around the stomach. And we also have the uterus right here. Notice that it's kind of small and flat when the woman is not pregnant, and then it will expand to enormous sizes. All right. Pain tests. If a person has abdominal pain, there are four different pain tests we can do. The first one is called rebound tenderness. So what you're going to do is you're going to push in on the abdomen, not in the area of the pain, but in an area distal to the pain. And you're going to push in and you're going to say, now I want you to tell me, does it hurt more when I push in like this or when I let go? If it hurts more when you let go, that is called rebound tenderness. Typically, it's one of the tests they'll do if they suspect appendicitis. Now, where is that person more likely to have pain when they have appendicitis? Which part of the abdomen? Where is their pain going to be? Where is the abdomen? And where is the appendix? Okay, lower right. So, people with appendicitis will typically hurt lower right quadrant. So, if you're performing the rebound tenderness, where would you push in? Upper left quadrant, because you want to go away from the pain. You don't push in on the pain. You get punched in the face for that. Now, some people who have appendicitis will hurt on the other side, or will hurt in the upper part of their abdomen, but most people who have appendicitis is going to hurt where the appendix is. All right, the inspiratory arrest. What you're going to do is you're going to push in right here. We're going to test for gallbladder inflammation. So what you're going to do is you're going to push in just below the gallbladder. Where's the gallbladder? Upper right. So you're going to push in a little bit below that, and you're going to ask the patient to take a deep breath. What's that going to do to the gallbladder? It's going to push it down. As it begins to bump into your fingers, if the person has gallbladder inflammation, that person will go, and they'll stop breathing in. That's why it's called inspiratory arrest. They stop breathing in because they don't want it to hurt. Then there's another name for that, which is Murphy's sign. Not Murphy's law, Murphy's sign.
So you press on the side of the gallbladder?
Right. So you press on the side of the gallbladder, ask them to take a deep breath, and if they have gallbladder inflammation, what will they do?
Stop breathing
in. So everyone do it. Go, it hurts. Murphy's sign. Then we have two other tests called iliopsoas and obturator. And those are signs, or those are tests for peritoneal inflammation. And for those, it's easier to show than to describe, so I'll show you those in the lab. The rectum. Now, we are not going to inspect one another's rectums. Yes, I know there's a lot of disappointment in the room, but that's just how it is. But you will be required to inspect someone else is in the hospital. So, what we're going to look for is lesions. Do they have any hemorrhoids? Do they have any fissures? Do they have any warts? Yes, warts. Do they have, you know, any cuts? Whatever is going on down there. Do they have any rashes or hemorrhoids? What is a hemorrhoid? What do we say it was? It's a vein, a varicose vein in the rectum. They can be on the lower part of the sphincter or the upper part. So if they're above it, we call them internal. If they're below, they're called external. Now, typically, you're not going to see an internal one unless it's prolapsed, which means it's so big that it can actually stick out. Internal ones typically do not hurt. They're typically painless, but they can cause bleeding. External ones are typically painful or irritable. Or itch, or all three. Now, palpation. We do what we call the digital rectal exam, or DRE. So, everyone, take your examination finger, put some lube on it. You can never have too much lube. Now, insert your finger. Come on, everyone. Okay. Yeah, lube it up. All right, now, insert your finger. Come on, everyone now. Everyone, come on. Come on, Joe, you got you too. Good. All right. Now, once you're in, once your finger's in, if it's a guy, you're going to do this to feel their prostate. So do this. Yeah, sideways. Yeah, horizontally. All right. Now, from here, you're going to do a digital sweep. So you're going to go up, then you're going to go back down, and you. To get to here, you're going to turn your arm like this, and then you're going to come back and back. It should take about 5 to 10 seconds. So in, drip, 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 back. You're feeling for any, we call it laxity in the wall. So if there's any bumps or it's pushing outwards, you'll feel that. Also, any bumps. There's actually quite a large number. What? How do you sweep? Like this?
Yeah.
Right. So you, what you're feeling for is that it's smooth. I can't remember the number, but a fairly large number of colon cancers supposedly are actually palpable on a digital rectal exam. Typically, this is going to be done in older people. So as you approach the age of 50, well, older is 50, which is the new young. Yeah, I mean, you know, 30 years ago, 50 was old. Now 50 is you get your first convertible. Yeah, or your first bimbo. But, hey, women have bimbos too now. Gigolos. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Now, once you've taken your finger out of the rectum, you take a card.
A what?
A card. A special card. You rub your finger on the card. It's a special card for the hemocult. Then you take your glove off and throw it away. Now, the card you're going to put a special developer on, and what that's going to test for is fecal occult blood. The word occult means hidden. So you're checking for hidden blood, which means blood that, you know, if you look in the stool, it doesn't look red, doesn't look like the person's bleeding. But sometimes there's a little bit of blood. That's what we're going to check for. Now, what did we say was the major cause of GI bleeding? Aspirin and other NSAIDs. Aspirin and other NSAIDs are one of the major causes of occult blood. What's another one? Hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids is another one. What's another? The big C. Not constipation. Cancer. Colon cancer is one of the number one causes of GI bleeding. So what we're doing here, you know, we're checking digital rectal exam. One of the things we're doing is checking for possible cancer lesions that are close enough to feel, if your fingers are long enough. But we're also checking for fecal occult blood to help rule out GI bleeding, including cancer. You do not auscultate. You do not percuss the rectum. Just in case you had any crazy ideas. Yes, ma'am. Well, they do have, if they have bleeding from NSAIDs, they do have an ulcer. It's not necessarily a gastric ulcer, though.